Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, when you hear Ozzy, it means one thing. Neil Greenberg's ready to kick some ass. Neil Greenberg joins us. Hold on, let me get this right, B. Neil Greenberg joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
They are that.
You can follow Mr. Greenberg at N Greenberg on X and Instagram. What up, Greenberg? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing super. How are you guys?
We're good, man.
We're good, dude. We are good. It feels like it's 15 degrees outside, but outside of that, life is good. Last week, you walked confidently into the direction of your dreams. You thought Washington would win at Tampa. You said you liked the Commanders' money line. You were proven correct. How you feeling this week?
I am feeling a little apprehensive for the local club. I think... I'm not breaking ground here. This is probably the toughest matchup for them to date. It is a very important game. Detroit's just a really good football team. And, you have to wonder how much longer Washington can be the team of destiny. I think we're going to see a blowout here one way or the other. Probably going to be Detroit, but I can certainly see a path with Washington considering how they are just YOLO on fourth down, and that really can take the top off an offense in terms of just giving them more bites at the apple. But it can also put Detroit into some favorable field position, and Detroit likes to go on fourth down in their own right, so it's going to be I think we're going to see a lopsided event.
You said that you can see it be a blowout either way. If it's if Washington ends up winning, what happens?
Well, the defense has to play better than it's played probably all season. There probably is going to have to be a turnover or two. And if they do go on fourth down, they're going to have to continue to be as efficient, if not more efficient, than they've been during the regular season. I think, one of the extremes is going to happen. Either I think Washington could win by 14 or more, but I also think that, the offense could just – the slipper could fall off, right? And it just – the run ends. And they have trouble with a team like Detroit who's been really good all season. I do think that the path to victory does involve a little bit of luck in terms of turnovers. And – there's nothing wrong with that. You need that when you're an underdog to beat the better team. It's just less likely to happen.
You know what? To Greenberg's credit, he puts his money where his mouth is. If you follow him at N Greenberg on X, like I do, he'll post his tickets, and he put in an alternate line ticket of the Commanders to beat Detroit by 14 plus, and you're getting plus 2,500 on that thing?
Yeah,
it's a long shot, but your money's on it, or at least a portion of it.
Yeah, I don't put out stuff that I'm not willing to back up with my own bankroll. You have to look at it as, the storylines like we're talking about, right? And, could it be like a three-point win? Sure. But I just don't think that that's what we're going to see here. I think either Washington's run is going to end and in startling fashion, or Dan Quinn's going to show that he can continue making all the right moves, and things fall in Washington's favor. So yeah, I think that 2,500 for the Commanders to win by 14 or more is probably a decent price, albeit a
That's
long
crazy,
shot.
That's crazy, man.
That's nice. Yeah. Hey, Greenberg, Washington hadn't run the football effectively down the stretch, but they won the games. We watched Kansas City not be able to run the ball effectively this year, but they kept winning games. Are there any stats or any analytics that talks about those teams that have that sharp passing game, like an extension of the running game, and how much success they have?
Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to being able to move the chains effectively, right? No one really should care how the chains get moved, who's doing the running, all that stuff. It's just how effective is the offense. And, Washington's had one of the more effective offenses all season. They were historically effective, early on in the season. And, like you said, I think, a 5-yard screen pass is just as effective as a 5-yard rush. It depends on who your personnel is and what the defense is giving you, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't get too bogged down in those type of details. I think you have to look, and this is where, like, the playoffs especially, we're only dealing with a handful of teams playing. So the stakes are obviously higher, and the caliber of teams are better, and so the matchups mean more. So I do think that as long as Washington is able to move the chains as effectively as they have during the season, they're going to be in this game. And if they get some lucky breaks, I think that they can break this game open. It's just that Detroit is just really good, right? I mean, they had the bye. I mean, I'm not breaking new ground here. Right. This is a tough matchup, and Washington is going to need a little bit of luck to go their way in order to win it.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Line. You can follow Neil at N Greenberg or check out his work in the Washington Post. Sports writer, stats geek, not nerd. Important to point that out. Jiu-jitsu expert, Neil Greenberg. Historically, 6 seeds, and historically is only 5 years, so historians might argue that's too small of a sample. But since they recalibrated the playoffs to 7 teams, and it's only one bye, and the 6 plays the 3. The 6 has done quite well in the NFC. The 6 seed is 4-1 over the last 5 years, including Washington's win over Tampa. What has this thing looked like in those years since there's only one bye for the 1 seed? How has the 1 seed performed?
Well, they've performed well. I mean, home field advantage is very valuable in this playoff format. Home field advantage in general has declined overall, and that's because, teams travel better, et cetera. But the bye itself, resting players, having more time to game plan, et cetera, has proven to be really good. I will say historically, and this is not just the past couple of years, big home favorites like 7 points or more, they don't automatically run the table. Like, we're going to see one of them probably fall in the first round. I don't think it'll be the Chiefs. It leaves
Buffalo.
Only two others to really look at. But I do think that we're going to see a big surprise this weekend.
I mean, we usually do. What? I mean, B kind of said it there. Would you consider – I mean, oddsmakers have the Ravens as a slight favorite. Would you consider the Ravens – beating Buffalo in Buffalo, surprise?
The oddsmakers did not have the Ravens as a favorite. The Buffalo opened as a favorite, and then the sharp money moved it. So they are not. Baltimore is now the favorite.
Can I ask a question on that?
Of course.
Are we that convinced that the sharp money moved it, or could there have just been that much public money that moved it?
Oh, I'm telling you, sharp money moved it. I know for a fact sharp money moved it.
From what, Buffalo -1.5 to the Ravens -1?
Correct, yeah. Okay. Vegas is not going to move the number on volume. They don't care about the volume. I know people think that, but they don't care. They move it based on the sharp money. So Baltimore is now the favorite. I think that this one is really interesting considering the caliber of quarterbacks that we have going at it. You know, one of them is probably going to be the MVP. You can make a case for either of them to be the MVP, and it's really hard to argue with. But yeah, to see Baltimore get moved to the favorite on the road is pretty telling to me. What's even more telling, and I actually tweeted this out, like you can kind of figure out how the odds makers have these team ranked, and they actually have Baltimore as the top ranked team in the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. Yet they're the second choice in the AFC betting odds and the fourth choice in the Super Bowl odds. So I think that Baltimore is probably undervalued overall, but they are considered the strongest team remaining in the playoffs. And if they were to face Detroit, who's the top team in the NFC, they'd probably be a slight favorite there. So, yeah, I think Baltimore is very, very strong.
If you said this, you just said it in a way that you're too smart for me to understand. If Baltimore wins and they're going to Arrowhead next week, what does that number look like?
Probably Kansas City by one or two, favored by one or two.
Because it's at home?
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Specific with Washington, I'm curious. They do a decent amount of checks at the line of scrimmage. I've worked a game in this Ford Field era when they're good, and that place is crazy loud. Do you see any of that kind of concerns just specific to game flow dealing? I think that the era of being intimidated by crowds is over, but sometimes it could just be so damn loud that it's hard to do your job. I think those are two different things. How much of the factor do you think that could be?
Yeah, I think the noise is going to be a definite factor. Like you said, if you can't hear, then you can't execute. And, you know, the game of football is fractions of a second, not like seconds. So, yeah, it could be something. How much of it is something, I don't know. I also know that Detroit likes to blitz almost out of necessity because of some roster injuries and stuff. You know, I think Jaden Daniels could make them pay for that. You know, man-to-man coverage is something that Detroit's played very well against. Washington does like to play man-to-man. How does that change? So I think there's like a lot of these little nuance type stuff that we're really not going to know until, you know, we see it, how it's going to affect it. But I agree with you. Crowds, you know, intimidation factor is not really that big of a deal, but noise could be a big deal, especially at key points. So we'll have to wait and see. But let me be clear. I think Washington is in this game if they're able to continue to do what they've been doing. They're going to give up points, but we've seen that they can also score points. If they can get a timely turnover or two, I think that could be the huge difference that puts it in their favor.
I believe that the offense can be the best defense for them this week. If they get those drives like they did in that second quarter where they went 17 plays, 90-plus yards, 9 minutes, that puts pressure on Detroit to, like, just do something different.
And then they got the timely turnover,
yeah,
to Greenberg's
right
point. What do you make of that line? Does it seem right? Does it seem high? It's kind of growing, right? It was 8, now it's up to 9, 9.5, depending where you're looking.
Yeah, I played it at Commanders plus 8.5. I was happy to be over the key number of 7, so to go to 9.5 is not really a huge deal to me. Obviously, 9.5 is the better price. But I don't know. I have it significantly less. I have the line as Detroit minus 6.5. So I was fine taking 8.5. I'd also obviously be fine taking 9.5. I'm surprised it's over the key number of 7 because, like I said, I think the top of Washington's offense is high, and that's because they're efficient, and also Dan Quinn will go for it. He will go for it in the right situations. He will continue to go for it, even if it doesn't work out before. Like, he is an analytics dream in that regard. And, it, you know, we have seen it make a difference in games. So I like that part of it. As I said, I have it a little bit closer than the odds makers do. But I do think that we're going to see a lopsided win one way or the other. But again, I did take Washington plus 8.5 and plus and minus 13.5.
Right. Like if you have Washington plus 8 and then you get it at 9.5, it's like I'll drink Johnny Walker Black, but if you're giving me Johnny Walker Blue, I'm going to take it.
yeah, there you go.
Let's run through the rest of the games, Greenberg. You like the Ravens in Buffalo. You already said that, right?
I do.
Okay. Texans going to Arrowhead, 8.5. It's a big number for a Kansas City team that always wins, but they play close games.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be close. I think Kansas City is in postseason form. Patrick Mahomes is absolutely lights out in the divisional round. I don't think this game is close. I think they cover the number very easily.
All right. That was thorough. Rams-Eagles. Eagles laying 6.
Yeah, it's very tough to pass against this Philadelphia defense in Philadelphia. I have the under on the passing total for Stafford coming into this matchup under 226.5 passing yards. I think it's going to be really tough. I think Eagles win this one and they move on.
Wow. So you got Chiefs, Ravens. Dude, I just pulled this up. You can get the Ravens to win the Super Bowl at like plus 475. That's almost 5-1.
Right. And, that's just... and like I said, they're the top team in terms of like the odds makers power ratings. So that's a little surprising. Now, some of that is because they may not have home field, or I mean, I know they're going to be like, you know, in neutral spot, but you know, they're not going to have, there may be some home field stuff going through. But yeah, it is interesting that they are the top team in the ratings, but they're the, what is it, the fourth choice for the Super Bowl?
Dude, the Commanders are plus 2,800 for the Super Bowl, but I kind of,
yeah, this is as
like
good as it's going to get, right? Because if they win somehow, there's going to be I think people are going to start to get overly exuberant. So if you like Washington, I think this is the spot to take your swing. Like, you know, obviously bet within your means. Don't bet anything that you can't, not comfortable losing, et cetera. But I do think that this is your last chance to kind of get on that betting bandwagon. Not to say that they're going to be the favorite, but they'll be one of four teams at that point. And they'll be playing either the Rams or the Eagles. So for them, if they jump this hurdle, for them to actually be in the Super Bowl will not look as far-fetched as it does right now.
Well, Neil, to that point, I just looked at, to win the NFC, you're getting them at 10-1. Just do the math on, there's only four teams left. And one of the four they beat last time they played them. Mm-hmm. I almost think, if you think they're going to beat Detroit, if you're willing to put in the 8.5, or especially if you like the money line this week or something, I think you'd be crazy not to put in the conference winner. I'm not saying necessarily the Super Bowl, because I think whoever comes out of the AFC between Chiefs, Ravens, Bills is really, really freaking good. But if Washington wins this week, hard to imagine a world where the destiny and this magical run doesn't at least get to New Orleans, don't you think? Maybe that's
right,
crazy.
Like you wouldn't necessarily entertain them beating Kansas City or the Bills or the Ravens. You absolutely would entertain them beating the Rams or the Eagles. Like there's
right.
No doubt about it that they would be in that game, right? Like they're not outclassed in that game in the NFC. So yeah, I mean that's definitely something that's worth exploring. I think. You know, if you're looking at Washington and you think that they can jump this hurdle, then there's certainly some avenues where you can lock in a decent price for them at this point, because it's just not going to be any better than it is right now.
Totally, it's why I like them to win the NFC East this offseason more than their win total, because like you just need a couple things to go wrong and then they're only one of four teams to be there. That didn't get home, by the way. Greenberg, we got to run,
but,
brother.
I mean, if
appreciate
you would have told
you,
me though, beforehand that they would win 12 games, I would have thought they absolutely would have won the division.
I know. That's a great point. Right. Right. Exactly.
Totally.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, man.
That's our friend Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow. We're going to hear from Joe Witt Jr. in about 20 minutes.
Brian and JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, then you need to turn the Rood. With Wi-Fi capability, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your home. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? Adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best. They have installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
And here's the best part. Rood systems are whisper quiet.
Yes, they are.
No more noisy interruptions. None of that stuff that wakes you up in the middle of the night like clong, where you have no idea what's going on in your house. Might be an alien invasion. Rood's variable speed compressor ensures precise temperature and humidity control, operating efficiently even in extreme conditions like the cold weather today. It's comfort and performance perfectly balanced. B, also don't forget about the savings. You could qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Visit Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood,
it ain't right. Quinn Ewers declaring for the draft.
He should.
Yeah, I just thought he'd go to another college year.
Nah, he has the ability to get to the league.
Still more money there.
Yeah.
As much money as these kids are making in college, still more money in the pros, man. In about 10 minutes, you will hear from the Commanders coordinators. First, we think it'll be Joe Witt. Then it'll be Cliff Kingsbury. A lot of times that stuff goes either way. Like, sometimes Cliff will just show up. So we've learned to be nimble in our old age here. Another fellow I would describe as pretty damn nimble, Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
Parsons does a podcast,
obviously. Extremely nimble.
Parsons is... Cowboys just stud edge rusher linebacker. Maybe he's more than just an edge. Straight up linebacker.
He plays everything.
Kind of like an LT.
Inside, outside.
Yeah. What do you think? You think the best comp for him would be LT? Mm-hmm. At least early on in his career?
LT did the same thing. He lined up anywhere.
Not a lot of guys.
Over any position.
Not a lot of guys that could be that versatile and still be that good as a rusher.
Yeah.
Micah Parsons has talked repeatedly about his fondness for Joe Witt and Dan Quinn, and he's in the content game, baby, so you got to talk about this week's games. This is Micah Parsons talking Commanders Lions.
Can they find ways to stop Jaden Daniels? That's going to be the most interesting thing so far that is going to be the happening, because I think if the game's on the line and you got Jaden Daniels with 2 minutes left and it's 17-17, can they win that game? It's going to come down to Jared Goff, obviously. Jared Goff got to limit the turnovers. You can't keep giving Jaden Daniels the ball. You know, I think the turnovers is going to be a crucial factor. And can that Washington's front affect Jared Goff in the most dominant way? They need to find a way to affect Jared Goff to create turnovers. It's going to be a battle between up front totally, because they got to honestly slow down Jahmyr Gibbs. And it's going to be an interesting matchup because it's going to be Luvu versus Gibbs. I think that's going to be the matchup to look out for. I think Luvu's been one of the most dominant linebackers this year. And seeing him against Gibbs, who's been the most dominant back, I think we're starting to see what Gibbs can be when he carries the load. I understand he's been splitting it with Montgomery and things like that, but Gibbs has been tearing the league up since he's been getting a start.
Interesting, because it's coming from Parsons. Clearly, he has like a media future because he's just talking about the whole matchup.
Clearly, he knows football.
Well, what stood out to me was his comments about Luvu. Of he thinks Luvu's been one of the best, linebackers in the NFL this season, which he has. I think the All-Pro nomination kind of.
You have to be careful with him on Gibbs. Gibbs is good in the passing game as well.
Gibbs, I think, is a little too quick for Frankie. I think you're going to need a lot of Jeremy Chinn in this game. A lot of it to me, from a matchup standpoint, is what do you do with Marshawn? Is that a St. Brown thing? Is that just I don't think you're traveling Marshawn with St. Brown on this. I think Samardzija is probably the better matchup for Williams. And I say that recognizing nobody has Williams' speed.
Yeah.
His high-end speed is just different.
Yeah.
What do you do with Marshawn?
I think you play him on the side, and if it's when Williams is over there, you give help.
But you think you let him go one-on-one with St. Brown?
I don't think I'm following him. I don't think I'm following St. Brown. I think I'm going to hunker down and play what I play.
Yeah, I agree. Know,
and I can run different looks from where I'm at. I don't think, because like, I think the thing about Mike Evans and him, they have a history, and they both, you know, they play physical. St. Brown is shifty, okay? Williams is a damn rocket. He can fly. So you got to give them different looks. And now, let's be real, Williams young, too. St. Brown has some experience in this thing so far. And he eats defenses up. But ultimately, the one thing that's going to help him, if he can find a way to generate some pass rush, that could help tremendously on everybody but in the back end.
Do you think – where do you think that rush could come from?
You have to dial up some stuff. I think just rushing four has not worked. We're going to have to try to find a way to have some delayed blitzes and – maybe you got to do some looks where you're going to make it think like you're coming and drop off and you know, make Jared have to throw the ball quicker, you know, because just rushing four hadn't worked for us this year so far.
Yeah, I think they know they've got to try to speed Detroit up. But the problem is Goff is really good at identifying the blitz and then finding something hot moving. Mm-hmm. And they just have such – they just have so much talent all over the place. You know what I mean? That it's hard to not. So I'm pulling up sacks. Caleb Williams was your.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we should. At some point, we got to compliment Caleb's toughness. Because of all the questions about him, I think toughness was one of them. That kid basically got his ass kicked all year and still started all 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
Sacked 68 times. Jaden Daniels was sacked 47 times. That's sixth on this list.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Caleb Stroud, Geno, Burrow, Darnold, then Jaden. You gotta scroll down a little bit. Goff, in 17 starts, was only sacked 31 times.
Mm.
So
if I hear that type of stuff, I'd go by Mark Rippon being sacked in 16 games.
Nine times.
That's ridiculous,
that's
dog.
That's crazy. That is really, really crazy.
God.
You know who must do a really good job getting rid of the ball? Stafford was only sacked 28 times. He made 16 starts. Lamar, how many times do you think Lamar got sacked?
22.
23. Bo Nix was only 24. That's really pretty impressive for a rookie. He also has an awesome offensive line. How many do you think Josh Allen was sacked?
Less than that.
14.
Mm-hmm.
He also takes off.
He takes off running a lot.
But so does Lamar.
Lamar this year sat in that pocket. He ran when he had to. He did not force the run this year.
Carson Wentz started one game. How many sacks do you think he took?
Five.
Four. that game might be more fun.
Wow.
stupid. Malik Willis, two starts for the Packers this year. How many sacks?
Eight.
Bang. Got it. Stuff like this is what makes sports fun. You can find something to discuss and something to bet on just about anywhere you're looking. We are all super fired up for the divisional round weekend. It's going to be excellent football. You can bet all sorts of stuff. The totals, passing yard props, rushing yard props, what the spread is. If you like the Commanders getting 9.5, and I kind of think I do, there's a lot of numbers out there. You heard us talk with Greenberg earlier about maybe you're betting a future on this thing, and you want to look at Washington to win the NFC. If you believe they can win this weekend, if you're willing to put your money on that, I would put a little something on them getting to the Super Bowl. Not necessarily winning it, but getting to there, because next week, if you believe Washington's going to beat Detroit and you're going to bet on it, you're sure as hell going to bet next week that they're going to beat Philly or L.A.
Yep.
So give yourself that opportunity. It's all that kind of action. If you need something for tonight, college hoops is heating up. There were some really good games last night. I watched Duke roll Miami.
Oh, I watched that.
You know why these coaches keep quitting? Larinaga, Tony Bennett. It's because their teams are bad. Like, that Miami team is bad. They're losing in the transfer portal. They don't want to deal with it, so they quit. I don't blame them, but That Miami team is bad. Big one tonight in the Big 12, if you're looking for some action. Iowa State hosting the Kansas Jayhawks. That's a 2-9, top 10 matchup. If you're looking at ESPN Bet, you can get that Kansas plus 5.5, total of 143.5. Kind of juicy numbers. Now, all new ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And you can unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code RADIO to get started today. If you're in Maryland or Virginia, make sure you're aware of all the different state laws. You must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're live in Ashburn, Virginia, where Joe Witt is now speaking to the media.
With Tampa, you know, it's always good to get a playoff win. And first off, the crowd, you know, the visiting crowd that we took down there was amazing, man. I mean, they had a lot of juice, a lot of energy. We felt them. And that was good. And hopefully it's the same way when we go to Detroit. You know, playing against Tampa, we knew that they were, I guess, averaging around 30 points a game. We kept them to their second lowest point total. That was important for us. We knew we were going to play a bold style, go for it on fourth down, allow on offense. And the couple times we didn't get it, we went out there and made sure they didn't get points. And it was complimentary football all the way through. And that's what we need. And that's how we have to play. That's the style we have to play. We talked about the ball was going to get on the ground. We talked about getting our hip down. At some point, we knew the ball was going to be on the ground. Bobby got his hip down and got the ball and recovered. In the past, we've had a couple of those, and we didn't get them. And so we need those turnovers and the stops. And so it's always good to get a win. I thought the front played well. They played squared. That was the reason Bobby and Chin and Oos could run through and make some plays. So it might not show up on the stat sheet all the time, but they hit blocks. They stayed square, and that's what we needed. So moving forward to these guys here, and, you know, we just played a top five offense, and now we're playing another one. You know, probably the top offense in the league. They have eligibles that are dangerous. You know, 9, 14, 87. You just keep going. 26, 5. They're all really good. Offensive line is really good. So they're a scrappy team. You know, the head coach has them playing hard. You know, playing like you know, they're playing behind when they're up, and that's what makes them a very dangerous team. So we're looking forward to the matchup. You know, and it's going to be fun.
Joe, just want to get this one out of the way first. Your name has come up with in connection to Jeff's job is a request of permission. Did you interview? And how nice to be in that position where your name is mentioned after the 1 year as a DC?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to try to dodge a question, but my whole focus is on Detroit. If I put any effort and energy into anything else, with this opportunity we have, I'll be cheating these men. So that's the only thing I'm concerned with right now. Yeah.
I kind of figured you might say that.
Mm-hmm.
With Detroit, what is the challenge with that offense? With, you know, you have Gibbs, you have Jamison, you have St. Brown. What's the biggest challenge with that offense?
They test your discipline. I think Ben does a really nice job of understanding coverages. He understands horizontal spacing as well as vertical spacing. He understands the responsibility of every player, and he's going to test the discipline of those players and of the coverage. And so you have to be where you're supposed to be and let your eyes be true. And if you don't, he's going to take advantage of it. So that's what makes them. And then they have really good players. You know, they have 9 and 26 have real speed, okay? And so they're going to try to get matchups. They're going to try to do those things. And then you have, you know, 14. He's just a great receiver, inside, outside, can do it all. So they're a good football team.
Just your thoughts on Marshawn's performance. Obviously, Mike Evans got some catches, but what did you think of the overall work?
You know, I felt that it might be a little bit difficult for the standpoint that, you know, he got one real day of fast practice, and we asked him to go out there, and same thing we did ask him last time, to go out against AJ and go out there against Mike. But, you know, that comes with the territory of being who he is, okay? And, you know, when you go out there and you fight on the outside lanes, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. And I have full confidence that he's going to win, because he's getting the reps now every day, and he's going to knock all that rust off. So it wasn't the performance that any of us wanted, all right? But I have full confidence in the young man that he's going to get it done.
They've got, as you said, they've got multiple wide receivers that are explosive playmakers. Does this make it maybe easier to leave him on one side that there's, because there's multiple guys? I know that's a strategy.
That's a question you know I'm not going to answer.
I guess it's more just like why then in the last game did you seemingly late leave him on one side versus having
say that again?
Did he look like he was staying on one side more late in the Tampa game?
No, that wasn't the case.
No?
No.
Well, I'll scratch that.
No.
You guys have, Quinn, too, you guys have talked a lot about these winning time moments and understanding the game situation. Kind of what goes into preparing your defense for that, and how have you seen that really show up in games?
Well, you know, like Q, and we just came through a walkthrough and we put them through another scenario. We try to think of every possible scenario that we can get in those winning time moments and put the team in it, you know. And we talk about it, we practice it, we stress it, we have them teach it back to us so they understand what pockets or what calls. When we get into the end of the game, all right, hey guys, I'm talking to the coaches, expect this call, this call, this call, let's go over it. Expect this pressure on third down, expect this call on first down. And when he goes for it on fourth down, hey Joe, I'm going for it. Cool, all right. Get the defense ready. Hey, if we don't get it, we got to go out here and get a stop. So we're always in communication on everything that we're doing.
So when it's come down to the last play from scrimmage for the last five games, mm-hmm. sort of what is your feeling on the sideline as you're watching this?
We're going to win. You know, like this game here, so it was a second and one, okay? All right, we got the stop. And then third and one, they sort of bobbled it. We get the stop. Now they punt it to us. I think it was 4 minutes and something else. All right, we're going to go down and win. That's winning time. We got the stop that we needed. The special team secured the ball, and we went down there and kicked the field goal. So that's what complimentary football is all about, playing as a team.
I think the first time you faced Goff was when you were the pass game coordinator in Green Bay. How have you seen him evolve since then, and what makes him effective at running this offense?
Well, like I said, I think what makes him effective is the understanding from the play caller, from Ben, of how to test people's discipline. You know, Goff is a talented man. He can throw from the pocket. He can throw deep inside and outside. He has all the tools, but their scheme and their eligibles makes them very difficult. And then he's a smart player.
And what about their interior run game, particularly between the tackles? It seems like that's a big part of what they do.
Well, they know how to move people, you know, and they do a nice job of – they can gap scheme, they can do the mid-bounce. They have different types of runs that they can run inside, and they just lean on you. You know, they'll go 30-plus runs on multiple games where they're just going to lean on you, and then they make you soft because as soon as you start overplaying that, here comes the leak play, here comes this play, here comes the screen. So you just have to play discipline ball all the way through.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
How you doing?
Doing good, how are you?
Great.
Can you talk about Quan Martin's role in helping you guys be successful preventing explosive passes?
Quan?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, I think we're top 10 in fewest explosive passes this year, and Quan has done a nice job of putting a cap on the defense, you know, over the top. And he does a nice job of tackling out of the post, okay? And so I've just been really pleased with him. He has a ton of ability. He's an ascending player that's going to continue to get better. But he gives guys confidence that he's going to be in the middle of the field in our single high defenses. And then if he has to get to a half zone or if we're playing our junkie cover twos, he does a really nice job. He's made like three clinic plays on our junkie twos where he's come out and got his hands on the ball.
And then
Jeff knows all about them junkie twos. Nobody go anywhere. Cliff Kingsbury when we come back.